This is Nick Nugent with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Monday, July 27th, 2020. Today, you will hear about the Supreme Court's refusal to intervene against Nevada's restrictions on church attendance, Hurricane Douglas's approach toward Hawaii, and an MLB pitcher's stand for his faith. Our first story. On Monday, the Supreme Court denied injunctive relief to Calvary Chapel, a church that had challenged a Nevada directive limiting worship services to 50 persons. The decision was 5-4, with Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the court's four liberal justices and the four conservative justices dissenting. The case stemmed from Nevada Governor Steve Sisolak's Directive 21, which limits indoor worship services to no more than 50 persons. Calvary Chapel challenged the directive in federal court, arguing that it unfairly discriminates on the basis of both religion and speech. The church asked the Supreme Court to issue a preliminary injunction, that is, a temporary order blocking the restriction while the case was pending in court. In particular, the church pointed out that the directive allows many secular establishments to operate at 50% capacity even if they exceed 50 persons. Such establishments include bowling alleys, breweries, gyms, and, central to Nevada's economy, casinos. The church wanted to host worship services for 90 congregants, only half of its fire code capacity, and planned to take many precautions that went well beyond anything the state requires. The church would have required 6 feet of separation between families, cut the length of service in half, used one-way paths, and sanitized the building between services. According to an infectious disease expert, these measures were equal to or more extensive than those recommended by the CDC. But they weren't enough for the governor. Sisolak continued to grant casinos and other revenue-generating businesses wide latitude to operate while imposing strict caps on church attendance. As long as these secular businesses operate at 50% capacity, they can host hundreds, even thousands of patrons at the same time. Now, you may remember the case of South Bay United Pentecostal Church v. Newsom, which the court decided just 2 months earlier. In that case, California had limited places of worship to 25% capacity, or 100 people, and the court also denied an injunction on a 5-4 vote in that case. Chief Justice Roberts wrote a concurrence in which he explained that when it comes to emergency situations, courts need to give elected branches wide latitude to set policy, especially when it comes to scientific matters where conditions are in a state of flux. Agree or disagree with that decision, Roberts' reasoning did make some sense. We don't want courts constantly second-guessing legislatures, thinking they know better. Judicial activism is a real problem in the courts, the cure for which is judicial modesty and deference. But the California order was issued early in the pandemic, and it exempted only so-called essential businesses such as grocery stores, banks, and laundromats, while excluding concerts, movie theaters, sports, and other forms of entertainment. Not only does the Nevada order allow entertainment venues such as casinos, movie theaters, and even some concerts, it was issued months into the pandemic, after the state had had ample time to thoughtfully balance health against civil liberties. Consider how Justice Samuel Alito analyzed the distinctions between these two cases. Quote, "For months now, states and their subdivisions have responded to the pandemic by imposing unprecedented restrictions on personal liberty, including the free exercise of religion. This initial response was understandable. In times of crisis, public officials must respond quickly and decisively to evolving and uncertain situations. At the dawn of an emergency, and the opening days of the COVID-19 outbreak plainly qualify, public officials may not be able to craft precisely tailored rules. Time, information, and expertise may be in short supply, and those responsible for enforcement may lack the resources needed to administer rules that draw fine distinctions. Thus, at the outset of an emergency, it may be appropriate for courts to tolerate very blunt rules. In general, that is what has happened thus far during the COVID-19 pandemic. But a public health emergency does not give governors and other public officials carte blanche to disregard the Constitution for as long as the medical problem persists. As more medical and scientific evidence becomes available, and as states have time to craft policies in light of that evidence, courts should expect policies that more carefully account for constitutional rights." Governor Sisolak issued the directive in question on May 28th, more than 2 months after declaring a state of emergency on March 12th. Now, 4 months have passed since the original declaration. The problem is no longer one of exigency, but one of considered yet discriminatory treatment of places of worship. End quote. And the constitutional problems don't stop with religious liberty. The dissenters also upbraided Nevada for discriminating against speech. Supreme Court precedent is clear that religion qualifies as a viewpoint, and that states may not favor some viewpoints over others. Large numbers of BLM protesters have openly defied Nevada's restriction against groups of more than 50 people. Yet Sisolak not only declined to enforce the directive for these events, he publicly supported and participated in a protest. He even shared a video of protesters standing shoulder to shoulder. Yet when churches signaled that they might violate the directive, the response was quite different. The Nevada Attorney General is reported to have threatened them, saying, "You can't spit in the face of law and not expect law to respond." Justice Gorsuch was even more direct. Quote, "In Nevada, it seems, it is better to be an entertainment than religion. Maybe that is nothing new, but the First Amendment prohibits such obvious discrimination against the exercise of religion. The world we inhabit today, with a pandemic upon us, poses unusual challenges. But there is no world in which the Constitution permits Nevada to favor Caesar's Palace over Calvary Chapel." End quote. So, should this case worry us? Well, we can take some comfort in the fact that Justices Gorsuch and Kavanaugh continue to show that they take religious liberty very seriously. On the whole, these have been good appointments to the Supreme Court, and I think we can expect more good things from them, despite occasional missteps along the way. On the other hand, there are certainly valid concerns with Chief Justice Roberts. We wonder whether we can expect him to prioritize reaching the right result over the optics of the court. But above all, Roberts claims to be an incrementalist. He doesn't want the Supreme Court to be the institution our nation always turns to resolve hot-button cultural issues. He doesn't like big cases where the court shakes things up. He claims to be an anti-activist. And we can respect him for that as far as it goes. And we must remember the procedural posture of this case. The court wasn't resolving the case on the merits. It didn't decide that Nevada's actions were perfectly consistent with the First Amendment. It simply declined to issue a preliminary injunction, which is an extraordinary remedy to grant where a case has yet to be fully briefed, argued, and decided. So, if this disparate treatment continues, it's entirely possible we could still see the Supreme Court or even lower courts hand a victory to Calvary Chapel. And let's hope they do. There may have been room for deference in the early days of the pandemic, but the discrimination against religion is growing more concrete and harder to defend. And viewpoint discrimination, where governors will stand shoulder to shoulder with BLM protesters in the thousands while cracking down on political or religious gatherings, has reached the point of absurdity. It has reached the point of being unconstitutional. Next, Hawaii residents are bracing for the arrival of Hurricane Douglas, a Category 1 hurricane that would be only the third hurricane in modern times to reach the islands. According to the New York Times, the storm was about 60 miles northeast of Honolulu on Sunday night and was expected to pass near the islands of Oahu and Kauai later in the night. The National Hurricane Center warned that Douglas will pass dangerously close to or over the islands today, bringing a triple threat of hazards, including but not limited to damaging winds, flooding rainfall, and dangerously high surf. Sadly, this storm comes to a state that is already reeling from the drop in tourism caused by the coronavirus. According to Mayor Michael Victorino of Maui County, on any given day, the county had been receiving about 8,000 visitors. Over the last few days, there have been fewer than 50 visitors per day. But the path of the hurricane could still turn on a dime. So let's pray that Hawaii is spared any significant damage or loss of life, and that the Hawaiian economy will soon recover, restoring jobs and dignity to the 50th state. Finally, in the encouraging column, we have the story of Sam Coonrod, the San Francisco Giants pitcher who took a literal stand for his beliefs. On opening day of the Major League Baseball season, members of both the San Francisco Giants and the LA Dodgers knelt during the national anthem. But one player, and only one player, remained standing. 27-year-old Sam Coonrod bravely stood while teammates all around him knelt. Later, when asked, he explained that he couldn't kneel before anything besides God. He elaborated, quote, I'm a Christian, like I said, and I just can't get on board with a couple of things that I have read about Black Lives Matter, how they lean toward Marxism, and they've said some negative things about the nuclear family. I just can't get on board with that." End quote. This story is actually encouraging for two reasons. The first is obvious. We respect Coonrod's courage. He would certainly have known the risk of not kneeling. People have been excoriated, fired, and even murdered for simply saying all lives matter. Increasingly, cancel culture threatens tremendous potential consequences for not uttering the shibboleths of woke culture, and even greater consequences for expressly contradicting them. No doubt, playing professional baseball represents Coonrod's highest career ambition, the apogee of everything he's worked for. He would surely have known that he risked losing it all by not kneeling. And so, his stand heartens us by showing that men with chests and backbones still do exist among the ranks of fame and fortune. But let's not also miss the second encouraging aspect of this story. Because what's happened to Coonrod as a result of his actions? Nothing. Nothing at all. He's not been canceled. He's not been fired or otherwise destroyed. Team manager Gabe Kapler, who himself knelt during the national anthem, said he respected Coonrod's decision to stand. He said, quote, "The one thing we said is we were going to let people express themselves. We were going to give them the choice on whether they were going to stand, kneel, or do something else. That was a personal decision for Sam," end quote. Well, good on you, Mr. Kapler. Good on you, MLB. And so the fact that Sam Coonrod is still employed, still successful, still alive, should also hearten us. We can easily revert to our worst fears when it comes to standing firm in our beliefs and our principles. Fears that will keep us silent and cause others to feel that much more alone in their struggles. But when someone has the courage to speak out boldly, yet thoughtfully, and the sky doesn't fall down on them, it tells us, hey, I can do this too. So let's do it too. Let's take a page out of Sam Coonrod's book. Don't succumb to fear. Speak the truth when it needs to be spoken so you can encourage others to remain steadfast. And above all, keep those knees straight. This is Nick Nugent with Cross Politic News. You can find this and all Cross Politic shows at crosspolitic.com or on the Cross Politic app. Don't forget to register for the first annual Fight Laugh Feast Conference, which will be in Nashville, Tennessee from October 1st through the 3rd. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network.